how about that? You look up to the heavens and you see that there's blue and some sun up there today. And we are 24 hours away or 24 hours into not having a football coach for the Cleveland Browns. That's where we sit today. My name is Andy Baskin. His name is Jeff Phelps. Good morning, Jeff.
Oh, we have a lot of coaches. They just don't run the show yet.
A lot of people waiting to see if they have a job. Is that what it is?
I would think so.
I would think I'd be on needles and pins if I was an assistant coach, especially the longer
they wait. But that's the life they signed up for.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think those guys know it. They all know. They're just waiting to find out what their fate is, and we will find out. But I do believe there's one coach that could probably keep a lot of the guys around here if they decide to keep him. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Again, he's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Dan Menigan is here. Hello, Dan. So you've had 24 hours to digest this. By the way, hello to all of our friends now watching on YouTube. Appreciate it. Got a lot of good feedback about that yesterday. You're 24 hours in. How do you feel now? What do you think?
I feel exactly the same way I felt weeks before this.
And that is?
I would have kept Kevin. I would have kept Andrew Berry. And if I wasn't going to keep one or the other, I would have gotten rid of both of them. Basically what Ken said. The same thing I've been saying for weeks. We just heard Ken in a promo.
Yeah.
I would have been both or neither. And I would have given him another year. I would have given Kevin another year.
And the fan base today would be what if they gave him another year? I think the fan base today.
Fed up.
I don't know, Jeff. I think a lot of the fan base
people
would be
love the last two games.
I get it. I understand it. Maybe it much like Eric Mangini. In his last four games, where it was a different front office at the time, but they decided those last four games made a difference. At least Mike Holmgren did at that point, and kept Eric for another year because of it. And because of the last two games, I think there were Browns fans that had kind of flipped a little bit and maybe said, you know what? You just beat the Bengals. You beat the Steelers, who, by the way, are going to represent the AFC North in the playoffs.
But you know what? Though,
maybe hang on here a second.
The last two games shouldn't have any impact. We have a six-year sample size.
Okay.
You know, and here's the other aspect of it. This is what I don't get. And the way it was asked to Jimmy Haslam yesterday about the roster, and I believe it was our buddy Scott Petrak who asked it, Jimmy had a strange answer to it. And it was like, well, the easy thing for me to do is to say, yes, the roster's good enough, so yes, the roster's good enough. If he had said no, well, then the question is, well, then why'd you keep Andrew Berry?
He didn't have a choice. He had to answer yes there.
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise, it's like, well, then why'd you keep Andrew Berry?
Yeah.
And if the thinking is Kevin didn't do a good job in the last 2 years because they won only eight games, then what did Andrew Berry do in the last 2 years to help you
win? Got a kicker.
To help you win more than eight games? And I'd have kept Andrew. And I'd have kept Kevin. But I think the criteria is exactly the same. If you only won eight games, I don't think Kevin did a great job with what he was given. And I don't think Andrew did a great job of giving Kevin enough to work with. So I'm either keeping them both or I'm getting rid of both. And they chose to split it up. And I personally think that's the wrong move.
There was one other aspect that kind of came into play here today for me as I started thinking about this. And I was like, at what point did they know they were ready to turn the page? Now, if you ask me, I would have said,
that's a good question.
The minute that they traded Joe Flacco, and if Kevin wasn't 100% on board with that, that is where things went sideways. That is where they probably made the defining moment.
I wonder.
The other thing that came into my mind this morning, I know we haven't talked about this, is what did Paul DePodesta know? And do you think that because let's not forget, Kevin came in. And he was Paul's guy, right?
Well, is it a coincidence that Paul DePodesta isn't here, and now Kevin isn't either?
And I agree.
Is that a coincidence?
I mean, is there a chance that maybe somewhere along the line, Paul's like, "Hey, man, I'm not real keen on where we're going with this thing. You know, Kevin's kind of my guy. We brought him in. Remember, I sat here for a year with Freddie Kitchens, and I told you that Kevin would be the guy. And what did Kevin do? Kevin did win Coach of the Year twice. He got you to the playoffs. I mean, things that hadn't happened since '99." All of this said, and I can sit here and make up a million excuses, and I can tell you that I think Kevin Stefanski probably should be the head coach still of this team, and if he gets a job within the next 10 days, that we're probably going to be sitting around here going, maybe Kevin did just get his master's here, and he really learned all the things that he didn't want to learn.
And we'll see.
And I'm okay with that.
And the coaches get fired when they win three games and five games.
That is my point.
But so do GMs.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But my point here is that I was okay with Kevin being the head coach again next year, especially with Andrew staying. Like, if they're thought partners then, they should still be thought partners now. I thought Andrew was very sincere in his thoughts about Kevin the person yesterday while they were talking about, moving. I understand. I'm just telling you how I feel.
No, I know.
So, but the other point to this, though, is the bottom line is, and I said this yesterday, if you're looking at the Browns from Mars, you see 8 wins, 2 seasons. It doesn't matter what the last name of the coach is. He's gone. He's lucky he survived last year.
Or the GM.
So why, okay, let me ask you this. Why do you think Jimmy Haslam and the front office and the ownership group said, let's stick with Andrew? Why?
I don't know. And
can you make a case for sticking with him?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
And that is?
You've saddled him with Deshaun Watson. But wouldn't that same excuse work for Kevin Stefanski?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the point.
He took away three first-round picks himself.
Six picks total.
Yeah.
I get that.
And Houston's been in the playoffs every year since the deal.
And money and cap space, maneuverability, all that. I get that. But Andrew Berry said yesterday, I completely own the record the last 2 years. Well, you might own it, but it didn't cost you your job.
No, I mean, if you own it, does that mean you step down?
Cost the other guy's job.
No, and Jimmy Haslam owned it too. Jimmy said, this is on us.
Doesn't cost him his job.
No, it's not. I mean, it's easy for him to say this is on me.
Sure.
I still wonder, and I still think that the breaking point was Joe Flacco.
I disagree with you on that.
You can disagree. I think that's where it was.
Well, I know. You're allowed to.
Yeah.
I'm just sharing my opinion now.
Oh, good. Give me some of your opinion, Jeff Phelps.
I don't know when it
was. While I enjoy this delicious cup of coffee.
I don't know when it was.
That our friends on YouTube will watch me drink. Go ahead.
Now, see, is that frowned upon?
Well, let me just tell you this. Let me just give you a little
frowned upon?
Behind the scenes, too. Now that we're on YouTube and you can watch everything we're doing, I am guaranteed to lose 5 to 10 pounds.
That's good news.
Because I just don't want to eat on camera.
Nice.
Because Keith will be all over me. Keith always made
fearless
fun of me.
Leader?
Fearless leader can't keep a clip because I decided that I wanted to eat sometimes while we're sitting here. And
Andy, what do you think about that?
It was good. No, now you'll see it. So let's enjoy our cup of coffee this morning, shall
Hi,
we?
Everybody.
Thank you.
Or he's just going to dip under the desk, eat under the desk, and then come back up and ask a question.
Have a little Joe with Baskin and Phelps.
Yeah, why don't we have a
let's get a coffee sponsor.
Yes.
I'm in.
Can we have a coffee sponsor?
Can we have any sponsors?
I still can't believe that one of the biggest coffee chains in America couldn't make it at Playhouse Square. To me, that blows me away. I know I'm on the rails.
Right? Okay.
So go back to Jimmy Haslam here and finish your thought.
See, you distracted me completely.
I'm sorry. Would you like me to buy you a cup of Joe to get you back on straight?
I don't think Andrew Berry's done a real good job here. You know, if you're looking at Kevin's 6-year body of work and you deem it not well enough, well, Kevin and Andrew have the same record. And I'm sorry, adding 4 guys in the draft who you think are building pieces, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Congratulations, you drafted a tight end who can play. By God,
well played.
That keeps you ahead of the coach. And I don't mean this in any smart guy way. I would have kept Andrew Berry, but I'd have kept Kevin. And I'd have given them both a year. Let's see if you can build on this. You're going to get the Deshaun contract off the books next year, and away you go. I would have kept them both. And I think to split them up and to judge one guy based on what happened the last 6 years, and the last 2 in particular, and not hold the other guy to the same criteria is a bad decision. And I don't think landing 4 guys who look like they can play in the draft is reason to make you think, wow, by God, he finally figured it out. Well, thank God, he's had 6 drafts.
But the Jimmy Haslam didn't go to the draft. He went to the free agents.
He went to Collins and Andre Schmidt.
I found that interesting.
This is the team that gave Dustin Hopkins a great big contract and then cut him.
That's true, too.
So, you know, how many kickers have you missed on?
I mean, you're going to make mistakes, right? Well, you're bringing guys in. Andy, I understand that.
I'm finding myself not defending Andrew Berry, even though I said I would keep him. And I would.
If I was defending Andrew Berry, though, I'd be sitting here, I'd be talking about, look, here's a guy that didn't have the opportunity to have three first-round picks, and I know there have been other picks out there, but you also did a pretty good job last year in putting it together. You had seven guys that you drafted last year that all started this past season, that all had significant time out on the field when you look across the board. And by the way, your first overall pick wasn't even the creme de la creme of this draft. It wasn't Carson Schwessinger. To me, I mean, we'll go down that.
Well,
it's
1 year, but yes, he looks like a player.
That looks like the best pick that perhaps he's made, right? I don't know. Can we argue?
Since he's been here?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question.
Okay. So,
but it's
one pick in 6 years.
I like Carson Schwessinger. Small sample size.
And I thought Harold Fannin's good,
too.
But
the guy can play. The guy could play. So can Harold. Harold can play.
And so can Quinn Chung.
Mason, yeah.
We'll see what the injury happens.
You could have gone out and gotten a running back about anywhere. But I like Quinshon, and I'm glad they took him. And I like Dylan Sampson.
But I think running backs come in two different levels, though, Jeff. I think Quinshon's in the Nick Chubb level, has the potential to be there.
We hope so.
And then the other guys are just kind of guys.
And the backs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
And I don't know what Sampson's
going to
be.
And you drafted two quarterbacks, and you don't go into 2026 not knowing if either one of them is even going to be on the team.
Is that fair when you draft a third one or a fifth rounder? Should you assume? No, I don't think you should.
Can I go basking on you?
Sure.
Well, then why'd you draft two?
I don't know, Jeff. I can tell you this.
And
the Browns are the most relevant non-playoff team in the NFL. They make picks and make trades that get headlines.
Here, can I give you one
Whether it's
more?
Successful or not on the field, the Browns are relevant in the NFL, not necessarily because of victories or touchdowns, or should be because of players like Myles Garrett, but they are always there for a headline based on a contract, based on Deshaun Watson, based on Shedeur Sanders. I mean, Sanders alone with his millions of followers on social media is going to bring attention to your team. Whether you think it's good or bad is up to you to decide, but you are relevant because the big pundits out there, the networks want to talk about Shedeur Sanders, which is great. It's great for the Browns, especially if it's positive. If it's positive, it's really good stuff. But we've also gone down this road with Deshaun Watson where we had to hear the nightly tales of lawyers going back and forth about things that were happening when we first got him. And then Baker Mayfield was a big name. But Johnny Manziel, I mean, I'm not trying to go backwards, but Manziel put the Browns on the map. He hates Cleveland now, and I'm pretty sure Cleveland hates him.
It's weird in hindsight that you drafted two guys who you kept your fingers crossed at quarterback. Because you don't, outside of the first round, you have to keep your fingers crossed and hope you get lucky. And they tried that twice. And so far haven't because they didn't commit to Shedeur and didn't play Dylan later on. So,
all right, we're 24 hours in now since the firing. My question for you then is, what are your thoughts now compared to the way they were maybe a day, or maybe you've had a chance to gather your thoughts on where the Browns are right now? And do you have a front runner for the job? Is there somebody you'd like to see get the job? We'll talk about that. 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 11. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.